Hi, and welcome to Film Forums. I'm Richard Williams, creator of this platform, a place dedicated to the filmmaking community. We interview members of the film industry to find out what it really takes to make a movie, bring a script to screen, or secure that acting role. If that sounds good to you, please subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on your favourite podcasting platform so you can be the first to know when an episode drops. Thank you. Welcome to Film Forums. Today I'm joined by my co-host Aisha Jibeli and a special guest, Tanya Serra. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be doing this with you guys. Thanks so much for having me.
You're very welcome. So you're the creator of hotsourceforfilm.com. Can you tell us what Hot Source is all about, why you started it, and why the name?
All really good questions. I guess I'll take a step back. So my background's in film distribution. I've worked as a global sales agent and studio buyer for the last 12 years. I got to work with like amazing big commercial films and witness prestige and be fair. Along the way, I started to see this gap in the market, really talented creatives with incredible stories to tell, but not positioning them properly, essentially not giving the executives what they want and need to hear in order for them to be convinced of their idea. And it's obviously a tough industry, the film industry, but it was so hard to watch these brilliant creatives sort of fall through the cracks because they just weren't positioning their projects properly. Even risky ideas can appeal to a film executive. You just got to know sort of what they're looking for and how to tap into that and sort of speak their language. And I've been a guest speaker at so many festivals and educational institutions, and you see their curriculum and it's missing film distribution. And I always say it's not called the film business for no reason. It's a business is a longer word. It is a business and business takes precedent. And so it's tapping into that ethos that I felt was really what these amazing creatives needed access and exposure to, and information that they could trust from a reliable source. And so, taking that plus my passion for wanting to tell stories that have a human impact, which can be quite difficult to convince a studio to do, I thought, why not go and use all of my amazing experience, how privileged I've been to sit in the rooms I've been able to sit in and my network, and lend it to these creatives and try and do it in a friendly way. I'm quite passionate in equipping creatives and filmmakers and up-and-coming executives with that knowledge so that they can have the confidence to develop their ideas and do it in a way that speaks the language executives want to hear, and in turn sort of promote their like ongoing success and help them advance their careers. And so all of that kind of combined to create Hot Sauce, which I launched in October, and it's been received so well. I just feel so blessed to have the positive response that I've had to it. And the name is a bit it actually came from a Beyonce song. She says, "I got hot sauce in my bags." Like, you know, I just was thinking about names for a company, and you know, what is it when you go into a meeting? It's like that secret sauce that helps you like nail that pitch, land that finance deal, and so forth. And as you can tell, although I've worked in quite corporate environments, I'm not immensely corporate, and so I wanted something that was a brand or a name that was really inviting and spoke to sort of who I am. And I'm not sort of like spicy by any means, but I do think there's like a cheekiness to it that lends well to my personality and the experience that people have when they work with me.
I think that really comes across on your website as well. If anyone goes and visits it, it's immediately not a stuffy, unfriendly, difficult, inaccessible place to be. It's really just visually impressive, and it's concise but informative at the same time, I feel. So it kind of does what it says on the tin. One of the things I noticed on the site, which really stood out to me, and I was going to ask you about, but you kind of already covered it in that sort of great first answer, was it says on your website that you provide access to information about the film industry you can't find anywhere else. I mean, that's such a bold statement, but clearly you can back that up. So yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's crazy when you think that filmmakers, creatives, anyone who goes to film school, I mean, those technical skills I don't have. I can't go and do any of that. But then it's sort of they're left holding the baby, so to speak, after they create. It's like, well, what do you do with it? And how do you know what to do with it, where to go? And so, yeah, I'm trying my best with what I'm doing to show people where you can go and where to find that information. And I also provide free 45-minute consultations to people. Again, that's just a way to sort of open the doors in an engaging way and in a welcoming way. And so it's no matter where you are in your career, you're like, welcome to tap into me and I'll help as much as I can. But yeah, really trying to democratize the film industry in a way, in that sense, make it really accessible to everyone.
According to your LinkedIn profile, you spearheaded all the feature film buying for MGM Studios across Europe, Middle East, and Africa in recent years. Can you give us an insight into your role as a former studio exec at MGM? I think our listeners, readers, and watchers will find that really interesting.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to distribution, I always it's interesting because, like, I think not even my mom still knows what I do. People are always like, okay, I know what you do, but what do you do? Like, what do you actually do? And so the way I sort of break it down is that, you know, anywhere you see content legally, that platform has to have the right to show that content. And so there's a whole, like, other side of the industry where rights are bought and sold and traded for, you know, a monetary value. And my job as a buyer at MGM was to be across all of the projects in the marketplace, understand what MGM's partners needed and wanted across Europe, Middle East, and Africa, territory by territory, and finding product and sourcing product that would suit those needs at the very, very basic level. I often bought on script. I would also buy completed films or ones like at Rough Cut that were showing privately at a film market before being shown to the public or doing the festival circuit, and evaluate them. Everything has a value. You know, I think film is such a creative art form, but in the business, it's a product. And so how will that product resonate with our partners and the audiences within each territory? And so I make those evaluations based on cast, subject matter, tone, you know, the director involved, and the quality of the content as well. Weigh that against what I know my numbers are in all those territories, and go out and make deals happen and buy product. And then on the other side, once you have the rights to a movie, then there's a whole bunch of work that goes into, not just legally, but that goes into taking that product in, getting it to a partner in a, like, let's say Germany, and then having that partner show it to their audience. So there's a whole process of material delivery, like DCP, the film materials, marketing materials, artwork. So I would oversee and work with the teams within MGM, which would handle that. There's a lot of dates and timelines contractually that have to be met. So it was my job to keep track of all those things to ensure we were meeting timelines and adhering to our contractual obligations. And then on top of that, it's the relationships with our partners in every territory as well, and sort of what they need, and keeping track of where we are at volume wise of what we promised we'd give them. It's a lot, actually, that goes on behind the scenes, from the inception of, you know, the start of a project to its journey to how it actually hits an audience. Even at the studio level, it's really complex.
Wow. Okay. That's just an incredible role that you had to fulfill, and a lot of pressure on your shoulders, I would have thought. So,
you know, I never saw it as too much pressure, to be honest with you. I love what I do. And that pressure, to me, I never saw it that way. It was just sort of, you know, a part of the job and seeing it through. And to be honest with you, the film industry, people think executives are actually really sort of tough and mean, and there are a lot of stories of that, but what makes my job most fulfilling as well is all the people that I get to work with. Like, this industry is filled with such great people on the distribution side. And so for the most part, I'm dealing with my friends, you know, making deals with, you know, friends of mine over the last 12 years. And so it's actually not as much pressure as one thinks. I think if you're organized as an individual, it's all right. I loved it. I love what I do. I have so much passion for it.
What I wanted to ask you as well was about different services that you offer and kind of what's included in that.
Yeah. So, there's so much that I offer. There's sort of one-off services. So, and I also just want to say, like, what I offer is for people, no matter where they are in their career. You don't have to be like a filmmaker with 5 films under your belt to sort of come to me, or even 2. Most of the people I work with are first or second time filmmakers. It's a real immense pleasure to sort of meet them at that stage, because I can help them build the foundational knowledge. So as they scale their career, they're doing it in a way that is beneficial to themselves as well as the broader film community. And they're, you know, well equipped to be able to do it with the business context. So I do everything from script consulting to pitch deck doctoring to distribution strategy. I provide negotiation support. So I'm not a lawyer, but I can dealt with enough agreements in my life that I can provide advice about tactical negotiation strategy. And I know all the ways in which to navigate clauses in a way that's friendly to both parties, but so that your people are protected. So I provide a bit of guidance there. And then I have services which are a bit more long running. So, like, full on development guidance, essentially shepherding a project from a creative direction perspective in the early stages of development through script to pitch deck. And then sort of they go off and, you know, make their project. And then I do full EP services as well. So that's literally from start to finish, overseeing a project from an executive producer perspective, as well as securing finance, distribution, putting together co-production deals, overseeing finance plans, being a part of the actual physical production and keeping track of dailies, ensuring, you know, things are being moving along in a way that match my initial projections of the film that we worked on in development through to post and sort of the journey that goes after that. So there's quite a lot I offer from, and it's all very much focused on the business side. During the process of all of these services, what's most important to me is that I'm really imparting knowledge on the people who I work with. So it's not like, hey, come, I'll do it all for you. Of course, I'm there holding a hand along the way. But it's really important. I always say that if someone never has to hire me again, then I've done my job right. It's really about like how I started equipping people with the knowledge so that they have the confidence to do this on their own.
So one of the things that you talk about a lot on your social media, and obviously, you know, we've spoken about privately as well, is the importance of pitching and how to make a good pitch deck. And you obviously gave away a fantastic free resource as well as a PDF for people to give them a little bit of guidance on that. If you were to give like your top three tips, what would they be in regards to pitch decks?
For pitch decks, be as concise but as detailed as possible. Think about who your audience is. If you're pitching this to an executive or even a financier, these are extremely busy people, and so no one has time to read a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 page synopsis in a pitch deck. Your pitch deck is an introduction to your film. And so there's the script. So what your pitch deck does is sell an executive on an idea enough that they're interested in order to ask for the script. And so it's about creating the world without convoluting the information and making it really easy and digestible for people to walk through. That's sort of my number one thing that I always tell people, and in the free resource that you mentioned, I very much emphasize in there, like, keep it to one page. Like, if you want people to absorb it the way you're putting it on the paper, well, then make it easy for them to do it, especially executives. The amount of pitches that we receive and scripts, it's insane. So you don't want to get lost in that. You want to make it easy for people to navigate that and actually be drawn to what you're putting out there, as opposed to like, whoa, this is overwhelming. Screw this. I'm going back to my emails. The second thing I see quite consistently when it comes to pitch decks, people usually get it wrong, is when they comp films. So there's different types of comps. There are story comps, tone and visual comps, and then there's business comps. And so it's important to ensure that you're being specific when you're using comps. Story comps are great.
Can I just interject for a second? I'm really sorry, Tanya. For those who don't know, what do you mean by comps?
Okay, comps are also known as comparable films. Comp is just a short form term that the industry uses. Comparable films are films which are comparable on different levels. And so there's comparable films from a story level. So if you're making a movie that's, you know, based on some sort of monster-esque figure falling in love, like Beauty and the Beast type thing, you might reference Guillermo del Toro's Shape of Water or something. As an independent film, that's only applicable as a story comp, because I'm sure we're not making it on the budget he had, and it's, you know, not being done under a studio with studio marketing. And so it's unrealistic to comp story against business in that sense. And in my pitch deck workshop, I actually go into quite a lot of detail about that and the 7 factors of a business comp. But there are things like the budget level has to be similar, the cast level has to be similar, the level of director, the anticipated form of distribution. So, you know, generally a first-time filmmaker with an independent film is likely not going to get Universal main labels distribution. They might get Focus Features, you know, the more specialty label. And that means a different level of distribution, a smaller sort of marketing budget, and the breadth of which, you know, an audience that will show up is really dependent on its exposure. So it's those sorts of things. So it's one area where people get it really wrong, is how they comp their films. And it actually works in reverse for them, because it shows that you don't really understand the industry. As a result, you know, what we're looking for in a pitch deck, and when executives are looking for when we meet with people, the road to making a film is a long road. It's a 2 to 3 year process. And so we have to work together for that long. And we're also giving a lot of money to people in order for them to work on their projects. So it's about having the comfort of knowing that the person you're working with, one, is going to be a really good, trusted and reliable partner. And two, your money is safe in their hands and they know what they're doing. They have a scope of understanding about the business and what's important to an executive. A third thing that people get wrong in a pitch deck: not identifying the format of their project is actually a really big thing, to be completely honest with you. There's so many different forms of media these days. And so being clear if it's a TV series, is it limited? Is it a reoccurring series, a mini series? If it's a feature film, what's the genre? What stage of development, or like what stage is the project in? Is it development? You know, is it like script stage, or where are you at with things? And being able to communicate that, it's very often not included properly in things. And I think filmmakers do it because they're afraid that if they don't have enough there, that an executive will be dissuaded from from having any interest in the project. But that's not true. There may not be immediate interest, but there might be follow-up interest. And so you can't really pull much over an executive's eyes. The amount of projects that we see, like we kind of know everything and we've seen all the tricks. And so being honest and forthright with where you are with your project is actually the best thing you could do.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that. It's like a wealth of knowledge there. Fantastic.
Have you had any feedback from creative students, so actors, directors, writers, in terms of when they've taken your course or a workshop, and then after that they secured a role or something's happened for them in their career having attended one of your courses or workshops?
It's actually like the most fulfilling part of my job when I get emails from people that I've worked with. So there was one producer who took my first pitch deck workshop. She had actually done a consult with me prior to, and she's a successful working producer. So she's done a ton of pitch meetings. She's gotten stuff off the ground with broad, like on the TV side and on the feature film side. And she actually is really good at pitching. She's pitched me before when I worked at the studio. So she took my course and she learned so much about it, mostly about the comping and the business side and all of that. She had the creative down, but the business side, she just, even with her experience of going through the process of selling films and distribution and so forth, she really, you really don't get to go behind the scenes, even when you are, being successful with your projects. And so she took so much away from it. She had a pitch like a month later and I got an email from her and basically saying like, I incorporated everything that I learned from your course. They've picked it up right away. WME is doing this. They also want to make it into a podcast. And like so many doors open for her simply because she positioned her project properly from a business perspective. And it just like made my heart smile so much because that's all I want to do is help people have that level of success and confidence. Like she just nailed it. Yeah, I've had actually quite a few people post working with me come back. Major broadcasters or studios picking up their projects after I've sort of helped them tweak their script and put together their pitch materials. It's like, it just like a smile on my face. Like, it's just, it brings me so much joy. And yeah, there's been a lot of success from the people that I've worked with, which is really cool. Really cool.
Well, that's really one of the ultimate goals, isn't it? I mean, if everyone attended your course and got a lot out of it creatively, but actually nothing, came from it a measurable point of view, then that may not be ideal. But no, I wasn't surprised to hear you say that. I suspected that would be the case. So that's fantastic. During the COVID-19 pandemic, you co-founded the Global Women in Film Club to offer women in the film industry networking opportunities. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so that's actually just a little side thing that I did with a couple of my girlfriends who also work in film. One is a director, the other one, she's a producer and an actress. They had a short film that they were developing and asked me to take a look at it. I resonated so much with the material that I asked to be a part of it. The first thing that I do anytime I'm looking at material is it's being comped in my head constantly. Like I can't watch TV or watch a film without like this process going on. So, it's always important to watch comps as well and look at story comps, tone and visual comps. And so we had put together a list of all these different types of comps and thought it would be good to get other people's feedback on the genre and subject matter. And so my girlfriend was like, why don't we start a film club? And we did. And honestly, it started the first week. I mean, I think the second week of the pandemic, to be honest. And it's proceeded every week since. Now we're on twice a month, just simply because as things have opened up, people's schedules have gotten busier. And, you know, we surveyed the group and they're like, two times a month is great. But I think we have like over 100 people who come to this from women all over the world, different disciplines. There's some people who don't even work in film, but have taken away so much from it. And I find it so inspiring the way these amazing women talk about films and how we look at them from a technical perspective, an idea perspective, from what they're trying to say and how well they do it. Sometimes it's offensive. Sometimes films get adverse reactions. Sometimes we get emotional. But I think the best thing about the Global Women in Film Club is that it's a real community. There's so much support and love there that every single one of those women, one, I'm so blessed to know. But two, also, you know, I know that I can call on them at any time due to the friendships that we've built virtually thanks to Zoom and technology. And that's the best thing about it. I've gotten emails from people throughout the pandemic saying that, you know, the film club has literally been their lifeline. And without it, they don't know how they would have made it through without the community and the calls and the discussions. And just having that, knowing that that support is there for them. It's this small thing that was just like, let's have people watch comps and talk to us about them and get basically like do test screenings of comps and stuff that has grown into this really organic, lovely community filled with women who are just fantastic. The fact that people get so much out of it, it's remarkable. It's remarkable and it warms my heart. And it's something that actually I'm quite proud of. I can't take full responsibility for it. I do it with two other girls and we all pull our weight because there's, you know, weekly newsletters and those sorts of things to everyone. And we do coffee roulette networking sessions, randomly pairing up girls because we're doing this in a group setting. So in order to really enhance the networking perspective, it's all been great. I have met so many great people.
Is it invite only or how can people like join?
Not really invite only. It is one of those things where like, if you know someone that's cool, like a like-minded badass chick, you know, forward this email, send her the link, tell her to sign up. So it's open to sort of anybody. We do keep it strictly for women because there are films that come up that target female issues on a very sensitive level. And like I said, it has gotten emotional at times. And so just to sort of protect the integrity and keep it a safe environment for women, not to say that men can't participate in it, but it's the reason why we limit it to women, because there have been some really tough and difficult conversations that have triggered some women. And I think we want to keep it a safe space. It's globalwomeninfilmclub@gmail.com, or you can email me, Tanya@hotsauceforfilm.com, with an interest in joining the club. I'd be more than happy to share the links and forward on the newsletter so you could see what the next film is and sort of how it works. But yeah, either one of those, it's really open to anybody.
You were talking about how you're heavily involved in four films at the moment. Could you just kind of expand on that a little bit? And also maybe just let us know kind of what is it that attracts you to certain films that makes you want to be that heavily involved, you know, to that
degree?
Yeah,
so as we were talking before, you know, I started Hot Sauce with sort of two streams of a business. One was educational with the workshops and courses, the free resources, the Instagram page, which gives out a ton of strategy and advice. Now we have a newsletter and headlines of the week, like if you're on our mailing list. So yeah, so that was a huge focus, the educational component. And then the other side was the one-on-one consulting. I had no intention to have a film slate, but this is the thing about life. And the reason why I always tell people that I work with and or anyone, like, just move forth. We have no idea how life is going to ebb and flow and where things are going to go, and be open to opportunities and possibilities, whatever and wherever they may take you. And Hot Sauce has taken me to a film slate. So this all came about. The clients who hired me for one-on-one services, I suppose were impressed, approached me and wanted me to sort of fully EP their film, which is a service I provide. But literally, they have all come via starting with one-on-one services and then asking to have me more involved. So that's really cool. So I have four films that I'm either EPing or developing as a creative director, a TV series, and two short films now. It's what I love most. And I talk to my friends who are other executives in this, and like, they think this is really awesome and really needed. So executives are like, thank you, Tanya, for like taking a step forth and doing this for filmmakers, because it's going to help them so much and help us find better talent. And to be honest with you, help the film like just get better ideas out there, more diverse ideas. It really comes to one chemistry, to be completely honest with you. The other is, it's really cool finding like undiscovered talent. And there's so much great undiscovered talent out there. And so the way I sort of choose the projects to onboard on a, you know, on an EP perspective, one, I have to resonate with the subject matter. So it has to be something that personally I believe in. You know, going back to what we said, I said previously, making a film is a long process. And if you're not passionate about it, even about the film industry, it's a tough business. It's a tough process. You have to really love what you're doing. And so on a very personal level, I have to just love what the story is trying to say and what it's trying to do. But I'm most keen to find creatives. Listen, it's really easy to go out there and make your cookie cutter action thriller. Someone will pick it up. It'll go straight to VOD. You'll make some money off of it, maybe, if you do it for the right budget and like go to town. And I love those. Don't get me wrong. I'm a very commercially oriented person working on studio films, like $80 million Mark Wahlberg stuff was really cool. But it's not going to change the world. And I don't think I'm this like big holier than thou person that like, oh, I can like change the world. But films and content have the ability to do that. And that's the type of content that I want to support. That's what I want to use all of my expertise and my network for. And so that's sort of the second criteria. And the third and the most practical is, you know, is there a space for this in the global marketplace? Like, is this content people want to see and what they want to watch? Because at the end of the day, I'm not just coming onto a project for fun. If I believe in something, I'm going to make it happen. You know, I do the comping and all the business evaluation in my head. And I'm like, okay, who's going to buy this where? And da 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 da. And I do all those sort of, you know, like, I always think of, who is it? Tom Cruise. And when he's like moving all those things around, what movie is, I always forget the movie, on screen, you know what I'm talking about?
Minority Report.
Yeah. When he pulls up all that, shoop, 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 shoop. I feel like that's what goes on in my mind when I'm looking at a project. and the shoop, 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 shoop all lines up. And I feel that there's really something there, big or small. It doesn't have to have massive distribution, but there has to be a space for it somewhere. And yeah, if it ticks all those three boxes, then I'm like, let's do this. Let's make this happen. Let's get to work. But yeah, that's, to be honest, that's the reality of what I think. I think when you're working at a studio or for a company, that your personal opinion is not the first one. It has to be what is best like for the company and what do we do and what content do we focus on and what do our partners want. But that's the great thing about starting your own business is your own boss. You just make your own. I get to choose the things that I actually really like personally. Yeah, that combined with material that I resonate with and its ability to penetrate the global marketplace successfully would be the three things I really look for. And as I said, big or small, you know, it doesn't matter if it's English language or not. I have one film that's a Mexican horror film, another one that's an Italian film. The other ones are English language, but it doesn't matter about language, especially these days, the international films, finally, people are starting to see them for what they are because there's so many good foreign language films out there. And slowly but surely, people are getting more used to watching them thanks to, honestly, Netflix. Money Heist, you know, stuff like that. All of a sudden people are like, okay, I don't mind stuff that's not done in the English language. And I think it's been a real positive. I think it will continue to grow.
Awesome. That's a great way to end, I think. So I want to thank you so much for your time. Wow, you've packed so much in to however long it's been. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much. It's been an immense pleasure. Let's do it again soon.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on your favorite podcasting platform. Visit film-forums.com for more.